Trade secrets and confidential information comprise a significant portion of most companies' IP portfolios. However, it can sometimes be difficult to determine what information is considered a trade secret and how it should be protected. Also, as more companies operate in both the US and Europe, it's crucial to know how EU trade secret laws impact a company's information overseas. Finnegan partners Martin Hayden and Jennifer Rossetti join us now to discuss these issues. Now, Martin, what are some strategies for identifying trade secrets?
One of the key things is to start early. Instead of waiting for trade secrets to appear and try to identify them, it's to go and see where the trade secrets will themselves arise. So if you can look at your business and look at the areas in which you expect maybe inventions or other materials that are going to be interesting for protection, then that's where you go and start looking, rather than waiting for it to come there. And what you're looking for is information which is secret, it's not known to anyone outside your company, and which has a value because it's secret. And to recognize that this is not just technical, but it can be commercial and marketing information as well. To recap, go look where you think it might occur, maybe before it's occurred, and also not to overlook certain areas in favor of others. Make sure that you recognize commercial marketing as well as technical information to see where those might arise.
How can a company use both patents and trade secrets to protect its innovations?
I think this has been one of the areas that often people struggle with, thinking that it's an either-or approach, when in fact it's both and. There are usually many aspects of implementation of patented inventions which are not disclosed. And those are the things that often are the commercial advantage in being able to make a good, profitable, efficient use of a patented invention. So the details are that the patents often give you some scope, the broad range of protection. The specific details on how you implement, and particularly how you make modifications going into the future, are where you will often find trade secrets that sit alongside your patents and work together with them to give you a portfolio of protection rather than just one or the other.
Jennifer, what can a company do to maintain the trade secret status of its information?
In order to maintain the trade secret status, it's required to have reasonable efforts to maintain the secrecy. And generally, that means a company must have employment agreements and policies to prevent public disclosure that's both intentional and perhaps accidental. This can include agreements that one has with the employees, such as non-disclosure agreements, non-compete, and you can even have reverse engineering prohibitions. So it's important to agree on what the company owns and what the employee or perhaps third parties that you're dealing with owns. And periodically, you may want to certify that everyone is in compliance with those agreements. And also, you may want to consider to restrict access to trade secrets and generally compartmentalize internally employee access. Proceeding on a need-to-know basis is the best practice.
How can a business recognize when its trade secrets have been stolen or compromised, and what remedies are available?
It's important to know how to spot trade secret theft, first of all, because there is a statute of limitations. Most states have adopted a 3-year statute as well as the recently enacted Defend Trade Secrets Act here in the U.S. So if you wait too long or don't spot it in time, you may be barred from bringing a misappropriation case. As far as recognizing it, if you notice a change of behavior from your customer or employees, or if you're in a negotiation perhaps of a supply agreement, we have a few cases here in the U.S. where a purchaser may be agreeing to buy your product, but on the condition where you only divulge your process, which may be your trade secrets, to other purchaser suppliers. This may raise a red flag. Similarly, if that purchaser later says it's not going to purchase more product without drastic price reductions, this also may raise some issues. And if you're looking and you see that your competitors are hiring former employees of your company, you may want to watch their behavior and see whether or not they're entering areas that they were not previously involved with that may include areas where you have trade secrets. As far as the remedies available, you can recover damages. You also may be able to have injunctions to prevent actual or threatened misappropriation. And in willful misappropriation cases, you may also be able to recover attorney's fees.
And finally, Martin, how does trade secret protection in the U.S. differ from Europe?
The U.S. and Europe essentially have the same idea in terms of the property in trade secrets and the rights that are allowed and what is not allowed. What differs really is the way in which these are managed by law and by the courts. In the US, you have state laws, and you now have a single federal law creating a trade secret misappropriation jurisdiction. In Europe, we have just had a directive approved by the European Parliament, but the difference in Europe is that we will not have a pan-European law. We will not have anything that is equivalent to the federal law in the US. It will still be handled by national law, and the new directive merely mandates that each country must bring its national law into compliance with a set of basic standards, which are essentially the same as you would find in the US in terms of what is a trade secret and what is and is not permitted. So the difference in Europe is going to be that there are significantly different legal approaches in the different countries of Europe. How the courts work, both whether they work under a common law jurisdiction type approach, say that the UK does, or a civil code, which is most of the rest of Europe, and also the particular law that they use, whether they have specific trade secret laws, or whether it's law of confidence, or a general commercial code, will vary dramatically. The significant difference in Europe is that the legal regime that you will work under to handle your trade secret issues will vary dramatically by where you are. And one of the significant aspects of this difference is the collection of evidence and the preservation of evidence. And that can change quite dramatically. Underlying principles are the same. The manner in which it is implemented is different. You have to be much more sensitive to where you are in Europe as to how you will manage your issues, even though the underlying concept is essentially the same.
Our guests have been Martin Hyden and Jennifer Rossetti of Finnegan, one of the largest IP law firms in the world. For more commentary on intellectual property news and issues, to listen to other podcasts, and to receive additional information on the firm, please visit www.finnegan.com. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Finnegan.